It rhymes. KSBT, Sandpoint, KBFI, Bonner's Ferry. Also, as you just heard from Mr. Booth Announcer, NorthIdahoRadio.com. It is Wednesday, and we're in North Idaho, so we cleverly call this North Idaho Wednesday, North Idaho Hump Day. Yes, it's time for another award-winning caliber edition of Ricky's Top 10, the practically weekly talk show, where we take a look at a top 10 list on different subjects. Of course, we've done top 10 favorite snacks, top 10 favorite hiking spots, top 10 road trips, top 10 favorite Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've done several movie shows. And speaking of movie shows, last Wednesday, we started our top 10 worst movies of all time list. But as sometimes happens, we only got through the bottom five. So this week, lucky you listeners, this week we'll feature Ricky's top five favorite worst movies of all time.
Much anticipated top five worst movies of all time.
I know people who couldn't sleep all week because they're on drugs. No, but anyway, and we'll welcome back our very special guest host again this week, a local Sandpoint raised young man who, as you heard last week, has a long list of accomplishments in his relatively short life so far. And I think he'll even tell you that despite all the things he's done, perhaps his single biggest accomplishment is having been our very special guest host on this show so many times. I mean, anybody could write a New York Times bestseller, right?
Exactly.
I mean, anybody. Yeah. And have his own TV show. And
people produce TV shows all day.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Anyway, so being on the show has got to be, maybe 10 times? We'll welcome back Willie Mays Witte. And we've got him on the line, from what I understand. But before we get to that, Ricky's top 10, we want to say congratulations once again to, speaking of movies, one of our other favorite guest hosts, Eric Plummer.
Yeah.
Was recently taken over the Bonner Mall Cinemas. He changed the name to Sandpoint Cinemas. And I've talked to Eric, and yeah, it's a weird time to get into the movie theater business with all the COVID and everything. But he's a big movie fan. You know, he's only going to bring great movies into Sandpoint and do great things there. We wish him all the best in his new endeavor. And they open up this weekend with the new Kevin Costner film. It's a Western that takes place right out here in Montana. Sounds like my kind of movie. It's called Let Him Go. And I'm thinking Kevin Costner must have something in his contract about never leaving the state of Montana, because his last TV show all takes place there, too. So, I'll do your movie, but I'm staying right here at home.
Hey,
so
anyway. When you're Kevin Costner, make demands like that.
Yeah. Hey, and I want to say thank you to all the veterans out there. It is Veterans Day, November the 11th, and remind you, if you're new to town and haven't heard of this, or maybe you've taken advantage of this offer before for you veterans and maybe forgot about it, but Sweet Lou's today. Mm-hmm. Go out to Sweet Lou's on Highway 95 in Ponderay. You get a free steak lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
And your side of, or your choice of a side. Mm-hmm. So it's free. And Chad and Maggie Faust, who's been doing this for like 10 years now, they've given away thousands of free meals to veterans as their way of saying thank you for your service. So you will need some sort of ID to show that you're either in the military or have served at some point. So take advantage of that. They want you to come out and get that steak meal. It's happening at Sweet Lou's right this very minute. What else is happening? Schweitzer Mountain Resort has just opened their online sales for single-day and multi-day lift tickets. Oh. Go from December 18th through March 14th. And for those of you avid skiers, Schweitzer's going to ask you to be more of an avid skier as opposed to somebody who likes to just go there and hang out. Mm-hmm. So this year, with all the COVID restrictions, very limited capacity in the lodge and things like that, and the locker rooms, obviously. So they just say, yeah, come on up, ski to your heart's content, and go home.
Yeah.
Because I remember when you guys were in high school, you used to like to go up there on weekends and mm-hmm. basically just hang out.
Oh, yeah. I would ski maybe a run and then go drink hot chocolate and hang out in the lodge. So my Aunt Mona, though, one of her first jobs when she moved to Sandpoint was selling hot dogs under a 10x10 pop-up tent outside. So I feel like if she could do it, you guys can hang outside for a season. Like, it's
if
fun.
She could do it, listen to this. She's a native Hawaiian.
Yes.
From the Big Island. Yeah. Who,
it's her first time on the mainland.
Her first time on the mainland. She gets a job cooking hot dogs outside. She had never been below 60 degrees at any time in her life. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Panda Theater this weekend, a movie, Hillbilly Elegy. Mm-hmm. It's starring Glenn Close and Amy Adams, the Ron Howard film. Do you know anything about it?
No.
Well, go check it out. You can go to santapanada.org to find out the show times. And it's inexpensive, $9 adult, $7 for kids. So Hillbilly Elegy, Ron Howard film. Trivia takeover at Pondere Winery tomorrow, 5:30 to 7:30. Winery has live music Friday with the Sarah Brown Band. Winery has live music Saturday with the Spokane-based vocalist Dallas Kay. And Sunday they have their piano music comes back to the winery. I would tell you what's happening at the beer hall, but they don't tell us this early in the week. So I don't know yet. We'll find out. We'll find out and pass that along. For you guys out there, you know, big fans of Tools, Harbor Freight Tools is open in the Bonner Mall. And they kind of had a quiet opening about a week ago, and I went out and checked out a huge store, great deals.
Do they sell appliances?
No.
Oh, it's, I was curious tools. About that. Okay.
It's more tools than you've ever seen. Well, it's row after row of inexpensive tools.
Wow.
So
cool.
They're going to have their grand opening this Saturday, so get on out there. I'm sure they'll have giveaways and stuff like that. So Harbor Freight Tools is open in the Bonner Mall. So that is what's going on today. It's Ricky's top 10 favorite worst movies of all time with Willie Witty joining us as well. So if you're a bad movie fan, stick around. We'll be right back.
We have a winner alert. The Kootenai River Casino in Bonner's Ferry has more winning in store for you through November with gaming specials galore, including weekend super progressive jackpot. It's the staycation you've been waiting for. Rooms in our Kootenai Falls Lodge start at just $59 a night midweek or $99 on weekends. Book a room and we'll include breakfast for two. You'll also win big in the Springs Restaurant with our November Trio Choice Lunch or Dinner Special, including traditional roast turkey, honey-baked ham, or turkey ham combo. Each is just $13. They're served every day except Thanksgiving, where we'll serve up a holiday meal to remember. Our November spa special includes a $79 custom massage and anti-stress facial. Better get used to the winner's alert, because it'll be happening all November long at the Kootenai Casino. Book your staycation today by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Here's some exciting news for Sandpoint soccer players. New this year, the Sandpoint Strikers are introducing a winter indoor league. You can play all winter long on indoor turf at the Striker Arena out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. League play starts November 30th and runs through March 5th and is open to all players age 6 to 18. You may register for Session 1, Session 2, or both, but hurry. Registration for Session 1 will close November 16th, 2020. So get signed up soon at sandpointsoccer.com.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. A is for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're going to be fine.
You sick?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh. Change up my strategy. Okay.
O's for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
By now, you've probably heard people around town saying good things about North Idaho Collision Repair Center, but you may not know exactly where they're located. You can find North Idaho Collision Repair Center at 148 David Thompson Drive, which is 1.5 miles north of Bonner's Ferry. Just go to the top of the North Hill and take the next left after the landfill, right next to the Homestead Coffee Shop. You'll find North Idaho Collision Repair Center directly across from Bear Auto. If you haven't stopped in before, you're in for a real treat when you visit their state-of-the-art collision center. From the moment that you drop off your keys to the moment you pick them up, you'll notice their commitment to outstanding customer service. They understand the investment you've made in your vehicle and have dedicated resources for continued education to ensure it's restored to the manufacturer's specifications. If your vehicle needs some body work, or you just want to stop by and say hi, come on up and see North Idaho's hidden gem, North Idaho Collision Repair Center, just north of Bonner's Ferry.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back. I'm Bob Witte along with you. It's Ricky's top 10 for this week. The top five, I guess, of Ricky's favorite worst movies of all time. Willie is with us once again on the phone. Willie, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me back. This is one of the top honors of my life to be able to guest on.
Well, it's good to hear. I've got goosebumps right now. And I really like that that singing ad that you and Ricky just performed. That A is for
Apple.
Apple, or I can't remember. Anyway, it's worst movies of all time. And let's review a little bit. We started last week. There was, I might have missed some, but it was Cats was one of the worst movies ever made. Polar Express, Grease, kind of a controversial pick there, but I personally agree. I just couldn't stand that movie.
No, it's a terrible movie.
It's like it, everything that happened in that movie had been done.
Yeah.
And then they just, I don't know. Anyway, Con Air, which was also a controversy because Willie and I both really liked Con Air. Maybe because it was so bad that it was really good.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll say that.
Yeah, but I really liked that. And the cast couldn't have been any more perfect.
No, it was terrible. Yeah.
So anyway, After Earth, Love Actually. Mm-hmm. Ricky called it Love Actually Sucks. Howard the Duck, which I checked out a little bit of after the show, and it's horrible. Yeah. It's like a bad idea. It's bad acting.
You
it's
got him excited about that love scene.
It's a bad story. The love scene, a duck in this... Never mind.
Yeah.
Just never mind. Cabin Boy, and then I had mentioned the 1936 semi-cult classic Reefer Madness.
Sure.
Which was supposed to scare teenagers out of smoking pot, but it actually, for my generation, it encouraged us. Because what they're showing on the screen is not what happens.
No.
So, I mean, how would I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
I knew back then. Anyway, that brings us up to date, and Ricky, take it over. And I can't remember, did Willie already do his number five?
We mentioned it briefly. You did miss my number eight, which was Cold Mountain, which I think deserves, because it sucks. Willie, what was your number five? Because I think we talked about it briefly.
I genuinely don't remember. Oh, you know what you didn't mention was Fantastic, the Fantastic Four movie. That
Fantastic. Yep.
Yeah, but I you know, I've got a whole new list. Since last week, I've been really rethinking this and rewriting this.
I don't know. We're gonna have to defer to the judges. Is that allowed? Can
I mean?
Well,
I don't.
Well,
care.
Let me tell you.
I don't know what his list used to be.
It was the so bad they're bad movies that I would say, like, avoid, don't watch.
Yeah.
They're terrible. But I think my top five, I'm going to pivot and go so bad they're good.
Whoa.
These are five movies that are so bad, and I strongly recommend anybody listening to go out and watch them right away.
Interesting.
Well, then, with that having been said, what is your number five?
Am I up first? Okay. My number five is a modern classic, I'd say. You two have heard of it. I think a lot of people have. It is one of the many gems that the Sci-Fi Channel has given us from made-for-TV movies. You know it. You love it. It's Sharknado.
Wow.
So if anybody doesn't know, Sharknado...
I don't know it, and I don't love it.
You don't know it? Oh, you're going to love it.
No.
That's really exciting. Sharknado. Okay, there is this crazy fluke circumstance where every shark of every kind is gathered in this big, like, migration. And then there's these crazy tornadoes off the coast of Los Angeles, and they begin lifting the sharks out of the water and dropping them over the city. And you might think that these sharks... when they might come down a little disoriented or maybe gasping for air. No, they are hungry for blood. So they're falling out of the sky and just immediately looking to eat anything in their path. It's a pretty amazing movie. I'll just mention, no, I don't even have to say anymore. You get it. You get what kind of logic we're dealing with there.
And isn't it Brian Austin Green is the star?
Ian Ziering.
Oh, Ian Ziering. Even worse.
Yeah.
The lesser known guy from 90210.
From 90210. I know. This is what happens to the actors from 90210. And Tara Reid from American Pie.
Oh,
it's like it's their sad sort of descent into B movie territory. But there's like multiple sequels and stuff now because it was a big hit. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing.
So the sharks fall out of the sky onto the land, kind of like Howard the Duck did. Do they end up with human girlfriends too, or?
You know, I haven't seen all the sequels that might come up later. In this one, no, they're out for blood.
So that they don't need to be in water anymore. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there's not a whole lot of logic in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was made almost like Snakes on a Plane, like made to be a terrible movie, and it just blew up and took off, and it was...
I think one distinction I'll make, you're absolutely right. One distinction I'll make is my top four were all made with the intention of being great movies, but they turned out terrible. This is the one exception. Yeah. And in fact, if anybody has seen Sharknado and loves it, or watches it after this and loves it, and you want to watch a movie that's kind of similar but wasn't made trying to be bad, it's called Birdemic. So quick shout out. It's not part of my list, but look up Birdemic. It's basically someone trying to remake Hitchcock's The Birds, but with really bad special effects and no budget.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
So if I wanted to watch Sharknado, where would I find it?
Oh, man, I should look this stuff up ahead of time. I don't know. You could probably rent it online. It was a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Right.
But I'm sure you could find it if you Googled it.
All right, so number five of worst movies of all time, Sharknado, that he suggests we all watch.
Yep. Well, my number five I do not suggest anyone watches unless you hate yourself and your life and you have 3 hours to kill. Make your life even worse. It was a highly recognized, very highly anticipated Scorsese film. I looked up the Rotten Tomatoes scores of all these movies after last week because Willie kept talking about that. It's 73% in Rotten Tomatoes, which is not high compared to the other ones I have in the rest of my list. It's a terrible movie. It is Gangs of New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ricky, you are surprising me all over the place with this list.
There is absolutely nothing redeeming about this movie. First of all, Cameron Diaz in it. I mean, why? Second of all...
She's hot.
Not in this. That's the whole thing about it. They don't make any part of it beautiful. There's never that scene of like peace and tranquility. It's all disgusting and dirty and not pretty. They don't even make Cameron Diaz pretty in it. The costumes are terrible. For some reason, and this is what really gets me about them, it's way too long. I don't like the story. It's all gross. But to me, the music is so jarring that it takes you out of the movie every time it switches. It's just all of a sudden it goes like, like it's like terrifying, the music. Like somehow they did not edit the soundtrack properly and it just doesn't work the whole time. It just is off and overwhelming and it takes over because maybe the movie was so bad and the dialogue was terrible that they had to like put in more music or so. The whole thing doesn't work for me on any level of any movie. And it has... other than Cameron Diaz, an amazing cast. Leonardo DiCaprio, Daniel Day-Lewis, Jim Broadbent, who's the dad in Bridget Jones, and Professor Slughorn from Harry Potter. John C. Reilly, who I love. Like, there's a lot about this that should be great, but it just... Nope.
So Gangs of New York just sounds like, especially with a cast like that, it'd be a modern-day West Side Story, but you're saying it's not.
No, not even a little bit. It did win Oscar for Best Picture, Daniel Day-Lewis writing cinematography, which to me, I don't get. I hated the dialogue, and the cinematography is disgusting. It also won the Golden Globe for Best Picture and for the music, which that's the whole part of it that I hated. So I don't get this movie. I do live with somebody currently who this is his all-time favorite movie, and I don't get it. I just don't get it.
This is Ricky's top 10, not guy who lived with Ricky's top 10. So
tell us, what didn't you like about it? I'm just kidding. And for those of you at home listening or at the office, and Sharknado can be found on Amazon Prime.
Oh, nice.
I'm being told by our crack research staff. And anyway, speaking of crack, we need to take a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, we've got Willie on the line again this week. Of course, Ricky, it's their top 10 favorite worst movies of all time. It's a lot of fun, so stick around.
Building a new deck has never been easier. Badger Building Center carries the industry's best composite decking brands, including TimberTech, Trex, Moisture Shield, and Fiberon. Starting at only $179 per lineal foot, Badger has the biggest selection of decking that will fit almost any budget. Badger's composite decking comes with a 25-year warranty, tons of color options, and is extremely low maintenance. Call for your free composite decking quote today. Badger Building Center in Sago, Post Falls, Bonner's Ferry, and Kalispell, or online at badgerbuilding.com.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
Hello, this is Tony Vallelli with the Legacy Group Commercial Network at Keller Williams. Many of you know me from my years on the radio with the Speed Sport Report, but what you may not know is that for 26 years I've been a licensed commercial realtor. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property, my team and I would be more than happy to assist you with your transaction.
Tony's most recent deal was to assist the new owners of Sandpoint Cinemas in securing a lease at the Bonner Mall. Local boys Eric Plummer and Mike LaHosett have partnered up to start this new venture in the existing theater space in the mall. Sandpoint Cinemas will have first-run movies on state-of-the-art projection equipment and full concessions, all at new lower prices. Get info and movie times at sandpointcinemas.com.
We handle all forms of commercial real estate: industrial, office, multifamily, development, retail, restaurant, resort, you name it, and we have literally decades of experience. Call me today, Tony Vallelli, at 264-3353. That's 264-3353. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Right now, members of VA's world-class medical team are doing courageous work, leading our nation's fight against the COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. But they need your help caring for America's veterans. VA is launching an initiative to rapidly hire more healthcare professionals to join us. We need physicians, we need nurses, pharmacists, laboratory technicians, respiratory therapists, and other medical specialists. This is a unique opportunity for you to serve and help the veterans who have served and protected us all. If you want to learn more about being part of our team, go to va.gov/joinus, or you can text VA physician or VA nurse to 97211. Thank you.
This public service message has been brought to you by Blue Sky Broadcasting.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
And again, a quick reminder as we return here live, it is Veterans Day. Thank you for all your service, all you vets out there. And Sweet Lou's is doing, once again, their free steak lunch or dinner out at Sweet Lou's on Highway 95 for all veterans. So get on out there today and say thank you to Chad and Maggie. And they do it every year. It's above and beyond the call of duty. We are back, Ricky's top 10 favorite worst movies of all time. We are down to, this is just so exciting, down to number 4. We've got Willie Mays Witte on the phone with your number 4, Willie.
I am excited to tell everybody about my number 4. This is, again, an incredibly bad movie that I guarantee if you rent it and watch it, you will laugh. Like every 30 seconds, you will be crying laughing. It is so bad that it is incredible to watch. And it is a gem of a horror movie from the 80s called Chopping Mall.
Oh, geez.
And Chopping, C-H, Mall. And I got to tell you, the thing I'll describe is if you look it up, you'll see the poster or the cover for it. And I need to describe it. This is actually, I have to make an important point about it. So it's called Chopping Mall. Mm-hmm. The tagline says, where shopping costs you an arm and a leg, and it's like a zombie hand holding a shopping bag full of like severed body parts. Now, gross. I describe that because none of that happens in the movie. There are no zombies. Nobody gets chopped up. This is like, I think the marketing team didn't even watch the movie, because when you look at that, you're like, this is for a different movie. Because once you watch it, you learn that it's about some new technology 80s again, mm-hmm. robots that are brought in to guard the mall at night. And some teenagers, I think their parents own the furniture store or something, they go in to have a little party that night and they get locked in with these guard robots.
Whoa.
But then also lightning strikes the mall and the robots go haywire and they start running through the mall, killing all the teenagers.
Wow.
And sometimes they shoot lasers that like hurt a little bit, but you can keep going. Sometimes they shoot lasers where their person's head explodes.
Wow.
It's very inconsistent. but it is, it's quite a thrill ride. I'll tell you. So definitely watch Chopping Mall. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I just, you sold me too. And I just Googled it and you know, that's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. And so is Shark Nano, from what I hear. Both true stories.
I guess if you're going to see a movie called Chopping Mall, you don't care that the marketing matches the actual movie because you're just going to watch it.
I think
it
that's
anyway.
Fair.
Yeah.
But that's hysterical. The marketing people didn't even watch the movie.
That sounds amazing.
So, Willie, how did you find a movie like that? It was not a commercial success, it wasn't a big budget film. It has a really bad storyline. Why did you watch it?
I'm actually glad you asked
that
because I wanted to give a plug on this episode to a podcast that is really great. If you enjoy watching bad movies, I discovered this through a podcast called How Did This Get Made? And
it's the only podcast I ever listen to.
It's really entertaining. It's a group of comedians who watch a bad movie every week. And then afterwards, they just laugh about it and talk about it. And so this is actually one of two or three on my list that I actually discovered through that podcast. So,
which
good
is
question.
It's entertaining to listen to because a lot of their worst movies ever made are some of my very favorite, like legitimately favorite movies. So it's interesting hearing them try to tear it apart when you're like everything they say against it is what you love about it. It's a really fun podcast to listen
but,
to.
Ricky, conversely, your Gangs of New York, which won Academy Awards and had an all-star cast, and you hated everything about it.
Yes.
So we're learning something about your personality here.
So my number four.
So wait, before we leave Chopping Mall.
Okay.
Are you going to watch it now?
I definitely am going to watch it.
Okay. So
check it out. You'll love it.
That's one of the great things I like about the show. I mean, from last week, you made me go check out Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll watch Chopping Mall. Gangs of New York, I think that's one that I
think you'll like
it. I think I'll like that too.
Yeah.
You'll probably
it's
like it.
Yeah.
I think Chopping Mall is also on Amazon Prime, by the way. Mm. Check.
Okay.
All right.
So my number four from 1999 has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I find unbelievable.
So what does that mean, 86%?
It means 86% of people that reviewed it liked it.
Did it also win Best Picture?
It didn't win anything, I hope, because it's terrible. I actually didn't look up that part of it. It is the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
I would defend that movie, but I think I know where you're coming from.
It's a mockumentary. It's a fake documentary that they made into a motion picture. It's super lame. Like, it never gets that scary. And it was touted as like this revolutionary style of filmmaking, but really it just makes you sick to watch because it's all handheld cameras running through the woods. So most of the shots are like kids' feet and trees, and it's blurry and fast, and you hear them running and like breathing heavy, and that's it. It is terrible. You're distracted by all the camera work and you can't get into the story, and there is no story. They're just scared because they're out in the woods. Like, that's the whole thing. I don't get it.
I can make a strange or a coincidental tie-in to Veterans Day. That film was produced by a military veteran who had done this type of like immersive wilderness training where they throw these guys in the woods and then they like hide and they mess with them and they try to like push them to their extremes. And they actually basically literally did that to the cast. They had them sign all these waivers that were like, you know, we're going to leave you out there with these cameras. And then they left, you know, scary like witch items in the woods, and they made noises at night, and they messed with them for like 2 weeks. So these actors were literally on the brink of like going crazy. And that's what you end up watching, is them filming themselves going through that.
Well, I mean, shout out to the vets, obviously. unmeasurable amount of honor and respect to every veteran every day. But this movie still sucks. So,
well, it was obviously a success. They had a budget. Willie, you know how much movies cost to make, in millions of dollars. Their budget was $60,000, and it brought in at the box office, are you sitting down, $248.6 million.
That's unbelievable.
Now
that was a great investment.
Overrated.
Big time.
Overrated.
It's one of the, one of those indie success stories of all time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think success is subjective. Willie, what is your what's your number three?
Okay, so I mentioned How Did This Get Made. Another great way to discover bad movies is a show on Netflix called Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mm. And that show, the premise is really dumb, but it's the premise is this guy is stuck on a space station. And these evil people are trying to find a movie that's so bad that it will make people crazy. So they force him to watch bad movies to see if he'll lose his mind. And once they find the worst movie ever, they can unleash it as a weapon in the world. Okay, so that's the dumb premise. But anyways, if you watch that show, it's a way to watch really fun bad movies and hear people make fun of them, right, similar to the podcast. And there's a movie, my number three is a movie that you could find an episode of Mystery Science Theater of Netflix on right now. It's called Cry Wilderness. And it is so incredibly entertaining. It's technically about a kid who discovers Bigfoot and no one believes him. But I say technically because it is one of those movies that's so bad that you could barely even say it's about anything. It's like just what you're watching and what is going on. One of my favorite things they do is they clearly got a bunch of free stock footage of wild animals that they didn't shoot themselves. So this is just some nature documentary footage. And the actors will be running through the woods and they'll stop and they'll point and they'll go, oh, look. And then they'll cut to and it looks clearly different and in a different place, like a wolf. And then, no joke, they'll cut back to the actors running through the woods. They'll stop and they'll go like, hey, look at that. And they'll cut to a bear. And this will go on for like 10 or 15 minutes. They'll run and be like, oh, look, and it'll be an owl in a tree. And you're like, oh my God, this is out of control. So that's the caliber of filmmaking happening in Cry Wilderness, but it's very entertaining. And the Bigfoot is a really horribly designed man in a Bigfoot suit too. So it's beautiful.
So did they make it bad on purpose, or did they try to make a good movie and it just came out bad?
This is definitely one of the ones in the they tried. They were trying category. And that's what makes it even more cringy. My God, this is not working.
1987.
Oh, okay.
A family adventure film directed by J. Schlossberg Cohen.
Hmm.
I just knew that off the top of my head.
Of course he did. I feel like the 80s is not Willie's era for movies. It's funny.
So is it a true story? I'm trying to look that up.
You know what? I think it's not only a true story. I think it's a true Pacific Northwest story.
Wow.
Oh, the boy, Paul, is from California, whose park ranger father is tracking an escaped tiger.
So they think.
Yeah, and they find Bigfoot. So, interesting. They filmed it in Mono Lake County, California.
Oh, okay.
Not sure where that is, but so Bigfoot's real. We've learned from that film. Interesting. And Ricky, do you want to save your number three for the final?
We might as well. Yeah, let's take a break now and then
we'll get this last break out of the way. And when we come back, we've got Willie, we've got Ricky. It's their top 10 favorite worst movies of all time. And so far, they've been pretty bad, but I can promise you it gets worse. So stick around.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Bi-Mart's latest savings guide is here, ready to help you prep for your Thanksgiving season. Get Turkey Day started right with a Mr. Coffee Maker, just $19.99. Toast up that perfect Thanksgiving breakfast with a Hamilton Beach Toaster for $29.99. And warm up your home with decorative throws, just $5.99 each. Check out this week's savings guides for these great deals and more, posted now at Bi-Mart.com. Bi-Mart, we're ready when you are with great savings this holiday season.
We have just a few more days left to prepare before snow makes things more challenging. Snowbanks can hide ditch edges, so be sure yours are marked with reflective driveway markers. This simple task will make night parking much safer. Don't leave home this winter without proper safety items in your car or truck. Road conditions can change rapidly here. The co-op stocks emergency flares, road cones, first aid kits, emergency heating options, car chargers, tube sand, shovels, warm clothing, and much more. If you don't already have antifreeze in your car or truck, make sure you pick up some at the co-op, along with all-season windshield wash and defogging spray. And if you have livestock, don't forget to check your water tank heaters. If they're not working, this is the time to replace them. You'll find them at the co-op as well. We can help winter go a little smoother at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, we are back. Our final segment for this week, our part two of Worst Movies of All Time, Ricky and Willie's Top 10. And Ricky, you're at number three.
I am. My number three is an all-time classic movie, and I don't understand. I feel like people only like it because they're supposed to like it, because there's not anything good about this movie. It's from 1942.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Oh, wait, 42. I don't know if this is true. Is it Citizen Kane?
No, I've never seen it.
Is it Gone with the Wind?
That's coming up. This is Casablanca.
Oh, no, Casablanca. That one's actually good.
You like Casablanca?
I think it has charm. I think that song...
As Time Goes By. Yeah, it's a beautiful song. That doesn't redeem the whole movie from being so boring. So I read today a lot about what it's about, and it actually was a commercial success because it was a real thing that happened in U.S. military history, and they had come out of it successfully by the time the movie came out. And so it was sort of this patriotic thing of like, look at this thing that we overcame as a country. And so everyone went to go see it because it was real and based on this thing that we were successful in. I don't get any of it. But that doesn't mean that it's not really boring. So the director, Michael Curtis, also did White Christmas, which I do not like. But that's a whole specific Christmas, terrible Christmas movie category. So I didn't put it in. So I just don't like this director's style. I find it boring and dry. And I love Ingrid Bergman. Love. And Humphrey Bogart is amazing. This movie, though, has a 99% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And I fall asleep every time I try to watch it. It's so, like, there's like three good lines, one good song. The rest of it, I didn't even know what it was about, and I've seen it three times. Like, I didn't know what the plot was when I looked it up, because I don't, it's so boring. I don't get it.
I'll bet you that 99.9% of the people listening who've seen Casablanca, they don't get you.
One person is agreeing with me right now, though.
So, and that's what it's all about, if you could reach one person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's well known as a classic,
yeah,
great movie. So let's move on. Willie?
Okay.
Well, Ricky, we took very different angles to this list, but it's okay. This is a dynamic show.
Yes.
So my number two, again, so bad, and I urge you to watch it tonight, if possible.
After Sharknado, I'm watching that first.
Yeah, that's a good call. Sharknado is a good first. This is a good double feature, actually. So you're right about the 80s. I don't know. Maybe I have something against the 80s, but this one's from the 80s as well, and it's called Mac and Me.
I feel like I've seen
Mac
this movie.
Mac and Me. Okay, so I don't know the behind the scenes of this, but just watching 5 seconds of it, you could pretty quickly tell that some movie studio saw E.T. and thought, hey, that was a big hit. Let's do that. Because it is a blatant ripoff of E.T. It's a little boy becomes friends with an alien, but he has to keep it secret in his suburban neighborhood. The problem is they're not Steven Spielberg, and that these aliens that they designed are some of the most, like, hideous, terrible-looking things. I can't handle even just looking at them. They constantly have the stupidest expression on their face, and it is, like, so poorly made that, you know, it's just, like, it's bonkers. Your jaw drops open and you just watch the whole movie like, what is happening? So Mac and Me.
Well, it did win a Raspberry Award and a Razzie Award for the worst movie of the year.
Hey, look at you.
So congratulations, Willie. You picked a loser.
Perfect.
Well, my number two is much more controversial than Mac and Me. It is also a classic for some reason. I don't know how these people just had nothing else going on when these movies came out. This one's from 1939. Willie guessed it. Gone with the Wind.
I'm actually with you on this one.
I'm not a big Vivian Leigh fan. I love A Streetcar Named Desire, one of my all-time favorite movies. I don't like her in it. So that's the thing. It's a Vivian Leigh vehicle, and I don't like her. Clark Gable is amazing, but he's also old and kind of creepy in this movie.
Very creepy.
I don't like him in this movie. It's 3 hours and 58 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Way too long.
Way too long. And the end. Nothing. It's like her alone watching Tara burn down. It's sucks. Like, the end, you go like, I just sat here for 4 hours, and that's what happens? Like, it just...
I'm glad you said that, because I remember as a kid and a teenager of my parents' generation talking about what a classic, great movie that was. So finally, at about 15 or 16, I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's like the whole 4 hours. This is doing nothing for me.
Yeah.
And then it ended. And I go, that's it?
Exactly.
I'm sure I'm not the first person to make this joke, but I have the same experience, because at the end, you know, the line is, frankly, my dear, I don't give a blank. Mm-hmm. And I literally thought, as he said that, like, neither do I.
Exactly. So this has a 91% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think, again, like Casablanca, people like it because they're supposed to like it, even though it sucks. I read a Variety review from Variety magazine that it was a glowing review. It was saying, like, this is why it's a classic movie, which I totally disagreed with everything. But there was one line where they said, as entertainment, the film would benefit from... I can't even read my own writing. Basically, it would benefit from editing. Like, it needs to be cut up. And they basically say in the review that they almost take the script word for word from the book. So it's like scene by scene, word by word, and it's just... way too long. And so it just, I think they see it that it's too long, but they liked the costumes and the acting and all of that, which I did not enjoy. And I love a good costumer. That's what I'm all about. I like watching fun, flashy things that are entertaining. And this just doesn't do it for me. It's in Technicolor. It's my era. It's not entertaining enough to sustain a 4 hour film. And like I said, the payoff at the end is just disappointing. It's not there.
So you didn't like it?
I did not like it. No.
Let's talk about two more movies that are actually the worst of all time. Willie, what's your number one?
My number one, I as soon as I heard the prompt, it was easy. I put it right at the top. It was the first thought that came to my mind. And it's because it's kind of infamously, undeniably, like the granddaddy of bad movies out there. It's actually been called the Citizen Kane of bad movies.
Whoa.
And it's a movie called The Room. I'm guessing, Ricky, you know of it.
Yeah. I never saw it, though.
It's got an incredible story to it. In fact, there's books that have been written about what happened, how this came to be. There's movies that have been made about the making of this movie. And it's because it's just, it's like watching a car crash or a fire burn. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't look away. It's just like, this is, everything about this is terrible and I can't stop watching it. And the crazy thing is this, you know, multimillionaire, who, egocentric guy who funded the film, and he made it, he bought a theater, or he paid a theater to play it for like weeks and weeks and weeks and months, thinking that it was going to meet the minimum theater threshold so that it could be qualify for the Academy Award. So he was very delusional. But the crazy thing is, people started coming and coming back and coming back, and it still, I mean, maybe not now due to COVID, but it played in, not only in Los Angeles, but in a lot of major cities like Austin, New York, weekly for decades. People sold out the theater to go. It became a phenomenon. Yeah. And I went to a live screening of it, and it's so fun to watch live. It's similar to how people watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, where there's a lot of different cues, like you yell at the screen when the shots are out of focus. You yell, "Focus!" And, you know, there's all these different things that everyone knows is coming up, or like during the sex scenes, everybody leaves because they're so bad and you can't stand it. So everyone takes a break and they leave for 10 minutes and then come back. It's really fantastic. So The Room.
That's pretty amazing. Number one. Yeah. And it was made, James Franco made a movie playing the guy who made the movie. And at one point they were at an awards show for the remake movie about the movie, and James Franco gave the guy the mic and then instantly regretted it and was like, "Okay, buddy, that's enough," and took it back. It was pretty, like, the whole story around it was so entertaining.
Well, I just read a quick review of it, and it said it's a movie that when you first see it, you're going to ask for your money back, and a couple months later, you go back and pay for it again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
Ricky.
Mine, neither of you will probably agree with. It is from 1968. It's supposed to be the best sci-fi movie of all time, and I...
Oh, no. 2001?
Yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Stanley Kubrick's disaster of a ridiculous movie.
Ricky, did I tell you that the show has been canceled? Our radio show is over.
The IMDb bio of Stanley Kubrick says that it's hailed by many as the best film ever made. Rotten Tomatoes score of 92%. This just... Like, really, all I have to say about it, and I say this often, this is sort of my tagline, and I am one of these people that I'm referring to, so don't be offended. It just really reinforces my idea that people are idiots. I don't get why anyone likes this movie. It's frustrating. The set is really boring. It all feels like it takes place in this tight little space. And like Roger Ebert, I read this review that he wrote in 97 about it, about the docking scene that is really slow, and they put it to like Beethoven or Symphony. Some classical music. Yeah. And it's supposed to be really dramatic and exciting, and he's happy that he chose slow music to go with the slow scene. And I remember watching it and just going like, when is this ever going to end? Why am I torturing myself with this? And I got so frustrated that when the movie was over, I cried because I hated it so much. I had a physical manifestation of my hatred for this movie, and it is my all-time worst movie of all time.
Okay, to defend 2001, when it came out, there had been nothing like it. Nothing even close.
Yeah,
it was
neither
way
was
ahead
anything
of its time.
Like, you know, Over the Rainbow, but I love that movie. What is it called? Wizard of Oz. That's a great movie.
Willie, you were going to say?
I was going to say, you know, The Room and 2001, these are the kind of movies that really call into question what exactly makes a movie bad. Because I think the fact that you were moved to tears and had a physical reaction, that speaks to something. That movie was doing something to you. So you got to give it the credit.
It did actually. That's why I've never seen Citizen Kane, because I watched like this movie in Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, and I was like, anytime anyone says this is a classic movie that everyone has to watch, I'm over it. I'm never watching that film because they all suck. That's what this movie did to me.
And with that having been said, thanks for listening, folks. Our two-week edition of Ricky's Top 10 Favorite Worst Movies of All Time. Willie Mays, thanks for joining us. Once again, you stay safe and take care of yourself. Ricky will be back in here next week. We have our Thanksgiving show coming up pretty soon, believe it or not. But until next week, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Vote by vote, the ongoing count continuing in a handful of